press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in
the shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nominated?
They optioned no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, it's another Twin Talk. Maybe the last one of this season.
If we're viewing each year as another season of Drama, then that totally makes sense because we're, by the end of this month, we'll have wrapped up. I mean, let's see. We started in 2019. So year one happened by 2020. Year two was 2021. Year three was 2022. Year four was 2023. And year five was 2024. So we're hitting the 5-year mark this month, entering our 6th year of podcasting.
So the year correlates to the prior of whatever the 20s was. Does that make sense?
I guess so. Yeah. Like once we entered year one. Yeah.
Okay. Year one is the most vivid year of podcasting. I'm sure a lot of people say this. Like, I remember everything about season one of my TV show or year one of my Broadway show or whatever. Year one of doing Drama. I could probably tell you like every single guest we had in the order that they did it.
In order specifically. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not so funny. Other years haven't been even better, you know, in so many different ways. Not that the guests have gotten better, but just like the experiences have topped each other, which always is fun.
Well, you're acting like Jonathan Bailey on the Wicked Press Tour where he's being a naughty, naughty boy.
He's being fun as hell. So
I love it.
Cheeky. He's not crying like the other girls are.
it's a combination of the British humor, but also like he's an openly gay man being like unapologetic. It's really, really awesome.
When is the last time we had an openly gay romantic lead in a blockbuster like this? Has it ever happened?
Someone tweeted, which we'll talk about Twitter later, that it's the first time ever. And I wanted to be like, well, no. And then I had to stop. And I was like, well, actually, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Like, we don't, like, our openly gay actors that are out there, you know, like the Michael Urys, the Jonathan Bennetts, the ones who are starring in, say, Hallmark movies or leading those types of films, they're not in blockbusters at the same time.
Right.
You know, we have Richard Madden, hypothetically, being an openly gay man who then kind of crawled back in the closet.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And Luke Evans, allegedly.
Are they both the same situation?
No, he, like, fully came out, went back in, and then came back out.
And what's Richard Madden's tea?
I don't think he's ever said anything, but he was dating Jenna Coleman from Doctor Who when he was on Game of Thrones. But then he's like had boyfriends since, allegedly, in the paparazzi. You see him like in like shirtless in hotel balconies with Brandon Flynn.
With Froy Gutierrez.
Oh, Froy Gutierrez. Why did I think it was Brandon Flynn? I think both. He's the Scottish twink chaser.
Yeah, that's it. So I guess other than those two guys, well, I mean.
But Luke Evans was in Gone Girl playing a straight guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's Jonathan. Let's just go with it. Let's just go with it. Jonathan Bailey. Is he going to be like the most famous gay man in the world? That's so stupid.
Who is the most famous gay man in the world? Elton John?
I think he probably could be.
Harry Styles. Oh.
Just kidding.
Another
thought I had was Jonathan Groff has.
Wait, yeah.
But can you think of like him playing a romantic lead in a film?
He was in like the Matrix.
Yeah.
Reboot that happened.
And voicing Frozen doesn't count, even though he is a romantic lead in Frozen.
That's true. Interesting. Listeners, write in.
Yeah. Who is the most famous gay man in the world?
I mean, I have my favorites.
For sure. Wow. Interesting.
But
our brains are both working in real time on the podcast where I'm like, huh.
It's not like we came with a list. So we mentioned the Wicked Press Tour. You know, you've seen the movie. We've recapped it on Drama Plus, our Patreon bonus platform that everyone should take a look at, where we've been covering hot topics in real time because we released subsequent episodes at the beginning of November. And so a lot of like the major news, it was really fun to like be so current with things because as listeners know, you and I have to bank these episodes and kind of get them when we can. But the beauty of the Twin Talk is it's recorded like a day or two before release. So that's why we're able to come to you with all this hot news. I mention all of this to say, Connor, you saw Wicked at the end of October and it comes out in wide release this weekend.
And you're seeing it. Tonight.
I'm seeing it tonight. So I wish we had the chance to record it after I've seen it, but it's just a really busy week. What do you want to say about Wicked in general before we kind of get into like the press tour, which I think is like a whole other movie happening
Literally.
simultaneously?
Here's like my what I keep saying to everybody is, I love the movie. It's absolutely amazing. For me, coming out of it, the performance, the person, the actress, the star is Ariana Grande as Glinda, as Galinda, really, in this film. Dylan, she is everything. I'm obsessed with her
Yeah,
in this
that's what I'm
movie.
hearing.
I can't believe you're seeing it finally. It has been, I can't think of the last time you and I have had an experience where something this close and special to us, we didn't get to do together, like, see a show together, see a movie together, or whatever, because it obviously is something we usually wait for. But I can't wait to finally talk about it with you. I need to like clear my books for later tonight so we can have like a FaceTime and discuss everything once
I
you've
know.
processed.
Well, I'm so excited. It's gonna Poot is coming in to town to see it. And so him and Hunter and I have seats at the local Cinemark. And I am preparing to cry because that's what I think a lot of the Broadway fans have experienced. But I will say I listened to Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande both give some interviews on Las Culturistas.
Yes.
And it hyped me up beyond belief. Like they both, I mean, couldn't be more different. But also, like the way that they've approached this movie, they've taken it very, very seriously. I don't know, a lot of people are being eye roll about that, but this is like, I've said this before, the most anticipated movie musical of our generation. Thank goodness they've taken it seriously, no pun intended. Like, this is massive. And you've obviously believed the result to be successful.
I
So.
know. Oh my God. We tried so hard to get one of them, to get Jonathan Bailey, to even have Ethan Slater come back on the podcast. And none of it panned out for this movie. But Dylan, we are manifesting for part two. We will have Wicked film representation on the podcast.
Yes. I mean, we obviously had so much Wicked Broadway representation, but yeah, let's say it right here and now on this episode of Drama that next year for Wicked Part Two, we will have one of the stars of the movie on the
Hell
show.
yeah. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. For some reason,
Manifestation.
I have Jonathan Bailey in my head now, and I'm just thinking about how sexy he is in this movie. He does like British pop starisms vocally that you'll hear.
Okay.
And he,
You mean like George Michael type vibes?
for sure, George Michael down and
Okay, who you love?
love, love, love. And he looks so tall next to the girls because they're both, Ariana is taller than Cynthia.
Really?
Yeah. I can't. I wish I could go with you tonight. I'm like shaking thinking about it. But what I was going to say was, I did cry for like a lot of the screening. It was one of the most emotional experiences I've had in my entire life. But it wasn't because I was sad. It was this bizarre emotional reaction that I had to just seeing it on screen. And you're experiencing the story of Wicked as well. Like, I feel like because it's been in our lives for so long, we love some songs, we love certain performances, we love the memes are endless. But watching the movie, you're going to experience Wicked again. Like you're following the story, and it is such a great one. I can't wait for you to see it.
Me too. Oh my God. Well, we need to talk about this press tour. I feel like every red carpet, multiple podcasts, Ariana, Cynthia in particular, have really been getting emotional, specifically Ariana, when talking about this movie.
The tears are flowing. It means a lot to them. I know, but I'm like dying of laughter at all the tweets and memes and posts that are like talking about like it shows them deeply crying, and it'll be like me when I realize I have to go to work tomorrow, or me when I realize so and so can never win an Oscar for this role or whatever. Like it's beyond because their emotions are so real. I saw a conspiracy that was like they're trying to make it seem like they actually have the chemistry, the same chemistry that Kristen and Dina have. And I'm like, that's interesting. I don't think that deeply into things in this. I'm like, no, I think they just meant a lot to them.
The thing that made me laugh was when people were like, no, y'all, this is actually just what happens to you when you're in a musical and it's the last night and you're at the cast party and you're saying how much everyone's changed your life and you're gonna be friends forever. But
Oh,
no, it's been
beyond.
really great. Not seeing enough Michelle Yeoh
No.
on the red carpets. I've seen but a lick of Jeff Goldblum. So maybe they're real. I mean, they're obviously very much focusing on the stars, but I'm excited. I think that, like, who knows what'll happen Oscars wise? Like, this movie could stay in the conversation for months and months and months. I mean, sometimes, holiday releases like this happen, and then by early January, no one will really be talking about it because of the whole Oscars season really gearing up and awards season, Golden Globes, everything like that, which Oh, it's such an exciting time of the year, but I'm very much excited. Moving on from Wicked in general, what else do you want to chat about?
Okay, so Elf opened on Broadway last night. It got amazing reviews.
I saw a
Like
couple of
amazing
them.
reviews. Gray Henson is being praised. The Times raved about Gray Henson.
Rightfully so. Tony nominee and friend of drama, Gray Henson.
I
I know
know.
nothing about Elf the musical. I have to just
I
say, like,
know.
you know what? It's only like 14 or 15 years old. Like, it's not
Huh.
Elf, like, I feel like immediately became a cult Christmas classic. Not even cult, just like beloved Christmas classic. And I love that there's a musical about it. And I think this is like its third revival.
I've never heard a song from it. I know that Sebastian Arcelus played the role, right?
With Amy Spanger.
Okay, with Amy Spanger. I know nothing.
But it came back a couple years later than, I think actually a year later. Like it was like 2010, 11 season and then 2012, 2013 season. It played at the Al Hirschfeld.
Interesting. Pre Kinky Boots.
Pre-Kinky Boots. You know, I also have to say, and I realized this when I saw pictures from the opening night that Bethany Frankel attended,
What?
that Beth Lovell played the mom actually in the original production. And then this time around, it's Ashley Brown.
Living legend Ashley Brown.
Disney star statement legend.
She really took a change in me in Beauty and the Beast and made it the sweeping 11 o'clock number that it has become. And people don't give her the credit for that.
They don't. They don't. I think she also opened Mary Poppins on Broadway that came to New York.
She did. I have memories of watching like a Broadway.com backstage tour that she did for
And
sure.
then we, of course, saw her in the national tour
Right.
with Gavin Lee.
And real life friend and future friend of the pod, Jonathan Savage, known professionally as Jay
Yes.
Savage, looking like a little elf baby in Elf. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be so
We
good.
need to also ask him when he changed his professional name to Jay
There
Savage.
is a whole story to it, and I've heard it, but.
He needs to come on the podcast. I told him this when we saw him in like September or October, but
Yeah. I'm like, okay, is Elf going to be the smash surprise of the fall? Other than maybe Happy Ending, which opened to rave reviews.
best reviewed new musical of the season,
That's
I think.
amazing. Like,
Yeah, I mean, it's an open field this year for new musical, and so I don't think anybody saw this coming for multiple reasons. It's a small show. It's not an adaptation of like a big movie. And also, it's opening at the Belasco Theater, which hasn't had the best of luck over the last couple of years when it comes to new musicals, let alone musicals ever. Obviously, you got Darren Criss, you have friend of the pod, Helen J. Shen, plus Michael Arden. So like the recipe is there,
for
but
sure.
I wasn't sure what was going to happen. It's just a risk with new musicals.
I also just feel like I haven't seen it advertised that much. Even living in the city, being in Hell's Kitchen, being in Times Square all the time, I'm just finally now seeing some digital link advertisements out on the streets for it. But, and I'm not even like served that many ads for it, but I'm so happy it got the reviews it got. I hope that it can push through. The question I keep asking everybody is Darren Criss one of the big draws for this show for people who haven't like seen the ads, are familiar with past productions, et cetera, et cetera. And
Yeah, I think
I
so.
think so too. I think this, if he can sell Hedwig, if he can sell Little Shop, if he can sell How to Succeed, maybe he can
Period.
continue to be the theater star that he is. I feel like I'm forgetting
Right.
something in there that Darren Criss has acted in where he's been a
Well, he
star.
was in American Buffalo.
Of course, American Buffalo, which by the way, I was passing Circle in the Square Theater, right around the time Gilded Age came out. And I did not tell this to Ben when he came on the pod last week. I was walking behind Ben and his friends as they left American Buffalo's opening night. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, it's the footman. It's the footman from Gilded Age. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Gosh, we both had experiences of seeing him in the wild before he came on the pod. And what a gem was he?
Oh my God. He's so cute. I love him. Such a sweetie. Very present.
Super present. I'm very excited to see Tender Napalm, which anyone who listened to our episode last week about this with Ben Ahlers from Gilded Age, he's in this play that's going to be happening at Theater Lab in New York. You need to get your tickets to it because it's like half sold out. Like there's only 12 performances. It's mostly sold out. So get on
That's
that.
amazing. I know. Can't wait. All right. Other theater news. So excited about this. Paul Mescal is taking A Streetcar Named Desire back to London and then to Brooklyn. Oh, he's doing Stanley at BAM, y'all. I am so excited. Of course, the rumors were there back when the show played at the Almeida and then West End in 2023, early, early. Of course, this won him his Olivier.
Right. Oh my God. I forgot that it literally transferred short after that very short run, which you and I were lucky to see. I mean, did we build our trip to London, our twin trip to London, around this?
Gavin Creel, literally on the podcast, was like, "You're gonna make it happen. You're gonna get a ticket. You're gonna go to London. It's gonna change your
Oh
life."
my
And
God.
TBH, it did.
Connor, the goosebumps that I have. He did. He was like, because you were saying it's pretty much sold out. And he said, there's always a way to get a ticket. There's always a way. And oh my God, I'm actually gonna sob all of a sudden. But no, so we saw that production. It was fantastic. Our minds were blown. This was like post normal people, but maybe in the midst of After Sun. But I don't think, in fact, we were in
Yes.
London when he got his Oscar nomination, like within that same week.
We were. I remember that. But he had been Lost Daughtering.
Right.
Remember, that was his first big film role, was The Lost Daughter
Right. And now
with
we've
Olivia
got
Colman.
Gladiator 2 coming out, among, I mean, Merrily We Roll Along will be filming over the next couple of decades. But I mean, he's become such a star now. This is going to be a massive sellout at BAM, which I feel like a lot of things just sell out at BAM in general. But
They do. I know. Well, I'm nervous because I don't even know, will it follow the sign in Sydney Brewstein's window?
of course.
Will this follow the Brewstein pathway and go from a BAM sellout to slipping right in to the Broadway season and getting in before, nominations go out? Because I think nominations are a little later this year,
Just a little
a
bit.
little bit.
I
So
wouldn't be
we'll see.
surprised, but it also is like it's tricky because Paul, like obviously huge movie star. He's like there's so many different projects that are going on that I don't know what I would mean schedule wise. And this is a beast of a role as Stanley.
And I am so happy. Patsy Farron, she's taking her Blanche to Brooklyn. I keep saying taking to Brooklyn, taking to Brooklyn. She was so amazing. And of course, she had that like British to American South accent she was doing, which we as Americans were like, oh, but I'm obsessed with it. Obsessed, obsessed, obsessed. And she was so fantastic. I think she probably would have won the Olivier that year if Jodie Comer hadn't been,
That was that
cleaning up.
same season.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Anjana Vasan, who's also in the show. And I know I'm always telling you this about different actors. She has an amazing episode of Black Mirror. Like she's incredible. So
Yeah, you just told me somebody else had a great Black Mirror.
I'm always telling you about Black Mirror.
Oh, so good. Yeah, she was amazing. Estelle, as the Stella.
She was in Killing Eve, and she was recently in Wicked Little Letters, that cute movie with Jessie Buckley,
Oh.
another lost daughter connection. But no, it's going to be great. I could totally see it transferring to Broadway. It's just going to come down to theater availability, and which, around that time of the year, things open and close like crazy. So.
Yeah, I know. It's really crazy. I mean, this year is so big for plays with Oh Mary, Hills of California, Good Night and Good Luck, Othello, Purpose.
Yeah, there's so many. I mean, and all of them have stars attached to it, which. That has become the model in the last couple of years. And so who knows if it's going to take the Sydney Brewstein window route. I mean, looking at that season, both Oscar Isaac and Rachel Brosnahan weren't nominated for Tonys, but it was Miriam Silverman who was and won.
And she ate down in that act two monologue.
Oh, she was fantastic. She
Everything.
also, that role also won when it was first on Broadway. I remember that was like the stat.
Really?
Yeah, in 19,
Ooh.
like it was like in the 60s. But
I love
yeah, so
those
we'll
stats
see.
of when most winningest roles. We've definitely talked about this on the podcast, like Anita, I want to say Story being one of them, but
Yeah. Obviously, Rose
wow.
and Gypsy. We were talking about all these well-reviewed musicals. I have to say my heart broke a little bit when Tammy Faye's reviews came out. And we haven't seen any of these shows we're talking about, by the way, but it just bums me out when hard work like that doesn't go rewarded. Something must not have gone right in its transfer from the UK to here. But I heard that the stars are fantastic.
I heard that too. I know. Again, it I don't love reading reviews for things that I haven't seen, especially when it gets like mixed to bad reviews. Obviously, if it gets great reviews, I'll like read some of those.
Because it influences
But
you one way or another, which is just the way that, the power of the pen.
when I read or hear a negative review, I cannot help it. It sticks in my head. It
I
sticks in my
know.
head. I think this happens to a lot of people where they're like told something's bad, so they go see it and then they're a little bit clouded by that. So that's why I really try to stay away from stuff. But I know I'm bummed about Tammy Faye. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It's a big season. I know there's tons of shows that want to come in. So will Tammy Faye like keep running through the Tonys? Like,
We'll
Time
see
will
if
tell.
most famous gay man in the world, Elton John, injects some money in that. But I don't think he invests a ton in his productions, but I could also be totally talking out of my ass.
I heard a rumor once that he writes it and runs.
I heard that too.
We must have been told this together.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder by who. I wonder by who.
Yeah.
I forget. I genuinely can't remember.
It was about
I'm
Devil
not
Wears Prada. But
right.
who knows what's happened with that? I feel like I haven't heard much about. Didn't Devin go see it?
No, he walked past it.
Oh,
He
that's right.
saw Oedipus with Leslie
Okay.
Mandel.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also, I don't want to get into it too much, but Schmigadoon happening at the Kennedy Center this spring. It's like the musical adaptation of the TV series with a lot of friends of the pod.
So many. Ryan Vasquez, Izzy McCalla,
Anne Harada.
Ann Harada.
Which she should be in everything.
She should. She's got the juice.
It's actually suddenly pissing me off that she's not in Smash.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Listen, we're going to go
Criminal,
to bat
because
for
she.
Smash on Broadway like crazy. Like, trust. We're going to do a full campaign for it, I'm sure, this
Oh,
spring.
do you
But
think? Do you
I don't know.
think?
We've had so many of the actors already, but we're still going to be rallying for it. But the fact that Anne Harada doesn't have a Best Featured Actress track.
I would love her in the Angelica Houston role if that role, if the Ayleen Rand role continues to the stage show. We don't know. We haven't seen
It's
it.
still in the show, but it's not Ayleen Rand, which why change the name? But so it goes.
They kept Ivy and Karen, but they cut Eileen.
I think they changed every character name with the exception of Ivy and Karen. So,
Interesting. I know
yeah.
friend of the pod, Casey Garvin, is playing someone named Charlie.
Right.
Charlie's a great name.
It's great. It could be a dog's name. It could be a lover's name, a
Wow.
grandfather,
A
a
movie
chocolate
star?
factory owner.
Oh, wow. A grandfather. Oh my God. Okay, so wait, the Schmigadoon, is this its debut production? Like it hasn't been. Okay, interesting. Interesting. I didn't really, I guess I probably had heard that they were moving it to a stage show, but I didn't know. Kind of funny that like the TV musicals Smash and Schmigadoon are going to the stage. Interesting.
That is because like what are the odds that any TV musical becomes a Broadway show? Like I remember when remember Gallivant was on ABC and there was all this
Of
talk of it turning
course.
into a stage show. And there's so many things like that. Glee has long people have long said it might turn into a stage show, but I don't know if I even want that. I think that Glee's medium was that it was television.
They did the hottest songs of the moment. Yeah, that, yeah. I don't think.
One last theater thing that I want to absolutely touch on before we move into just, because we're theater, pop culture, love, and life, as I often like to remind our listeners.
Period.
The Nicole Scherzinger of it all. I think that it's being called Scherzy Gate
Is
online.
it? Oh my
If
God.
it's not, that's what we're calling it this moment forward.
Oh man. Have we all forgotten already?
I'll tell you what, Reddit has not. If
Hasn't.
you look at any, if you get served any ads for Sunset Boulevard, the comments, because you can like they're made as like Facebook posts that are like boosted ads. The comment sections are just very, very upset. We saw her in the show at the beginning of October. It opened to absolute rave reviews. I mean, I would say Nicole is the toast of the town, or was. The theater community doesn't forget these types of things. And so it was just such a snafu, and that she obviously apologized. You all can read the apology. I don't think it was a static post. I think it was a story post, but it actually is on
Yeah.
Drama's Twitter account. We reshared it. You did.
I did. And obviously, the apology didn't say, hey, I voted for Harris. But she can't alienate all of her MAGA fans now, can she? I mean, she had to keep it in. She had to, her team had probably advised her, like, don't isolate either side during this
Totally.
contentious time. I don't know what to believe anymore. Although I do know something for certain. That deep fake Harris T-shirt that they superimposed onto Nicole's body for that Page Six leak
Wait.
was so fake. I can't even
Wait, that was
believe.
a thing?
You didn't see it?
So I thought it was an AI joke.
No, Dylan, it was literally submitted to Page Six. Or they,
By who?
I imagine her team, her PR team.
Saying like she wore this shirt. Holy F.
And my friend said that they found that T-shirt design on Etsy or something.
My
But I don't
God.
know if that's relevant, but that made things
So the thing
worse.
is,
Worse, worse, worse.
I didn't know that was a thing. I thought it was a joke, like an AI meme. But I think we talked about this on Drama Plus. When I saw her election day post about going to make the right decision, I remember looking at the comments and it was so many MAGA trolls.
Oh.
Like, yes, making the right decision. Like, and this was before the scandal broke out a few days later. But it was very confusing to me that she had all of these like really right-leaning fans. I was surprised by that. And so then it all kind of maybe clicked for me when the Russell Brand problem occurred. So
Yeah.
I don't know. We do live in a very divided political time. And so when you said she didn't want to isolate those fans, it's true because, half the country did vote red. And so, at this point, those people buy Broadway tickets too. You have to be very careful in these situations. It's just interesting because at the same time, you have people like Ariana Grande endorsing Harris publicly. Do they think there'd be backlash for the Wicked movie because of that? I don't know. It's just that it's really
That
complicated.
is such a good question. I know. You've got Gaga, you've got Katy Perry, you've got Oprah, all these people at
Beyonce.
these Beyoncé at these rallies, but then I don't know. It's really
It's
interesting.
drama. It is huge
It's
drama.
drama.
And it was almost like I had no strength left to give at that point. Are we being too real?
No,
I mean, I'm just...
our energy definitely shifted, but I think 'cause we're like upset and kind of confused because I think we've been lied to by a lot of people in our lives. I think a lot of people, probably people we see every day in our offices, our neighbors, our family, our friends, lied this election.
Oh, and I knocked on doors in Ohio for the Democratic Party, and I would either get straight up like voting for the other side, or I would get Kamala. And I was joking with a friend the other day, like, oh, people didn't even know how to pronounce her name when they were saying it out loud to me. Like, they must have just been trying to appease me to get me to walk away from the door,
That makes me feel sick.
And I know it's just such a tense time, and like what we need now more than ever is hope and inspiration. And when we look to our heroes, Nicole Scherzinger is someone that we all love. Everyone has been gagging for her. Every gay was her for Halloween in Sunset Boulevard. I think that that's why this stung a little extra. Obviously, it's still a phenomenal performance. The show is absolutely
Oh,
beyond.
earth-shattering.
It's still maybe one of the greatest things I've ever seen. It's just I have complicated feelings now about it, and that just sucks. It really, really sucks.
I totally agree. Come award season though, because I know everyone's focusing on that. Like, oh, she blew her Tony chances with one Instagram comment or whatever. We'll see.
Yeah.
Felicia Rashad
We'll see.
still won a Tony and she was defending Bill Cosby.
Yeah. That's true.
And Kelsey Grammer gets to come on Broadway and he's like a known Republican. David Foster wrote the music for Boop. That's coming to Broadway in the spring. He
Yeah.
loves to donate to Republican candidates and very conservative guy. So I don't know. Will nominators and voters care? I'm not saying any of this with judgment, by the way. It's all just the truth. So
Yeah, it's all
I
fact.
don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Will Audra be amazing in Gypsy? Will Megan Hilty win a Tony? Will Helen
Yeah.
J. Shen be this breakout star of the best reviewed musical of the season? Will Jasmine Amy Rogers have her chance at Boop?
Will Ragtime Transfer and Casey Levy finally get her long overdue Tony nomination?
Oh, I also want to say, who will be submitted for Smash? Will it be Robin Herder? We don't know.
Oh, yeah, we'll
Caroline
see.
Bowman.
We'll see.
Krista Rodriguez.
So much is up in the air, and there's so much change occurring. It feels like we're entering a new era. Even on social media, there's this whole Twitter thing, which you and I have refused to call it X. Like, we'll jokingly say, or X, whatever. People always say, whatever we say on this podcast, like, where can people follow you? There's often the Twitter, or I guess X is what they call it. People are always so hesitant to call
Or as
it
one guest famously said, you mean on the
that. You're so funny. That joke was for me only. Yeah, so there's this whole Twitter and X thing. The Great Migration has occurred to Blue Sky. This new, actually, it's not even new. It has been around. People have been proposing this as an alternative to Twitter from when Twitter was rebranded as X. So I have to just say, I made the move. The podcast is now on Blue Sky. I'm personally now on Blue Sky. I know you are as well.
I just joined. I just today was starting to explore a little bit. And it looks like when Twitter first started. So
Yes,
far,
so
people are
far.
just being kind of fun and
Yes, it's like almost like, and this is just my conditioned brain. I was like, wait, where's all the political stuff? Where's all the, you know, crazy memes? It's just different. It's people actually talking about themselves, their days.
Interesting. Twitter has become, I mean, personally, my own Twitter has become, you know, if I like one tweet about challengers and Josh O'Connor, suddenly my entire feed is challengers down. It is everything. And now it's like Drew Starkey is my entire timeline on Twitter, or,
mine
you know,
too.
Paul Mescal is my entire timeline on Twitter. Interestingly, it's all these boys. But I'm not complaining about those. But Twitter really became something so strange since Elon took over. It's still funny, like the memes, but definitely not as fun as it used to be.
Yeah. I wonder if I will ever fully break up with Twitter. It's been such an important part of my life. And as someone who works in social media, like, you know, most of my clients aren't on it. It's just a scary place. It spread a lot of misinformation during the election too. So let's change it to a happier note. We've really gotten into the actual drama, I feel like.
There's so much drama. There's so much going on. But some fun drama that I've been obsessed with, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and Real Housewives of Potomac are thriving.
Oh my gosh, they're
thriving.
So fun.
Thriving. Oh
Appointment
my God.
Viewing.
They're both so funny this season.
I'm more partial to Salt Lake this season, but
okay.
Yeah, I can't really focus on Potomac. It's still good. I think that it's just like an adjustment period because we lost some people. Candace and Robin are gone. We've added some people like Stacy and
Kiarna, who I'm loving. Well, she was supposed to be a friend of, and Jacqueline, Mia's friend, was supposed to be a full-time housewife. But during filming, production, et cetera, because, you know, they film them all as full-time, unless it's decided beforehand that they're not doing home scenes. But Kiarna ended up snatching up the champagne flute.
Love it. It's fun.
She's really delivered. I love her energy. I think Stacy is so funny to me that she's almost an audience surrogate for this new season, kind of like Greek chorusing the insanity of these women and really taking it in real time. Whether or not it's an act or not, I don't care. I'm loving it. Giselle's having her best season in years.
Totally.
Years.
Maybe same with Wendy. Going back to Stacy for a second.
Oh, yeah.
I was a little apprehensive about her at first, but then I realized, oh, she's actually doing what I think successful housewives do, which, you know, Hunter and I have been working our way through Atlanta since March. We're on season six. And like, when you come in and you're very much, you have your personality fully fleshed out, you have interesting aspects of your life, and you're willing to go there, which she is with this celibate relationship that she's in, her sort of like separation storyline that's going on, like being able to put your whole life out there and be unapologetic about it is what I think has made, you're more of a housewives guru than me, but in my opinion, it's what makes you successful. Like in Atlanta, for example, I'm now a few seasons in with Kenya, but she came in really hot with like a very specific storylines and aspects of her life that she was putting on display. And I think that's why I know she stuck around for a really long time after that. So it's interesting on Salt Lake, then, you know, we have other sort of new wives coming in and friends floating in. And I think it's been successful with Bronwyn.
Totally successful. This most recent episode, which Heather was not in at all, I felt like we were getting a little too much Bronwyn. It was cutting to her reaction, you know, confessional talking head, like almost every other second. And I was like, oh my God, I'm kind of, let me breathe for a second. Like, I want to see Meredith say something. Which, how do you solve a problem like Meredith? Because she is so iconic. She's obviously been there from the beginning. She has a really interesting life, really interesting family. Why is she kind of sitting there this year?
I think that when she's shown too much, it burns her. So maybe she's just pulled back, you know, when she disengages, so to speak. She doesn't have anything going on other than it seems that her and Seth kind of have a little bit of a tiff going on, which, by the way, Seth Marks lives in Columbus.
Crazy. That was a gag.
Like, what? I knew he had lived in Akron for a while, like, or it was in Ohio.
You,
but
I can't believe you
crazy.
Haven't seen him like eating dinner in the short north.
I know Hunter and I were trying to guess like what neighborhood he might live in. And, you know, I was like, I wonder if I'll ever see him at the airport.
Maybe like a Bexley. You know?
I was thinking Dublin.
Ooh, okay. I could totally see that too. Yeah.
I would imagine he either owns a big house or he has just like a crash pad, because I don't think Meredith comes out and visits.
I doubt it. Oh my God. She should grand marshal Columbus Pride's parade next year.
And Brooks can come.
And Seth should too. He's so fun.
Oh, he's fun, but he's like sort of a child. Like when he was like, proof, biatch. I was like, dude.
Or when he was like, is everyone's asparagus always smell after they eat it?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Everyone's pee always smell after they eat.
Of course. That was like silly. But no, it's great. I think Lisa Barlow she's an all-time great housewife. Her ability to make any situation about herself, but still somehow have relationships with these women and doesn't seem to want to give up on them. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Again, unapologetic, very much outlined storylines.
She had kind of a quietly great line at this one scene where she was like, "You don't have proof, Whitney. My tequila has more proof." And it took me a second to like get it. And I was like, oh, she means like the vodka, like the proof vodka, mm-hmm. like the amount mm-hmm. of alcohol. Oh, so good. So good. Yeah. Loving Salt Lake, loving Potomac. Roni, it's Jover. Yeah. It's Jover.
We mentioned it on the Ali Bonino episode a little bit at the beginning, but it's just very dull and very fake.
Bad.
How the mighty have fallen.
I will say Jessel seems to be like bringing a lot. In my opinion, I think
she wasn't at first, but I think in the most recent
lately, she's had a lot of stuff going on. I appreciate her. But anyway,
well, Bethany Frankel, you know, who I did mention attended the Elf opening night. She went on one of her social media platforms and was talking about how you need to just bring back the queens of Roni, the Ramona, Sonia, Dorinda, Luann.
Oh, really?
Again. Yeah. She was like, you need to dust off. They're like toys waiting on the shelf. Dust them off. Bring them back. She was like, I will give credit. It was like a funny moment, I think. But yeah, I mean, at this point, if you want to save your fledgling former flagship franchise, you need to bring out the big stars.
You know, Bethany has really lost me over the past couple of years, but she's so fun to agree with when you agree with her. I love the Bethany years of Roni. I really do. I really do. Even if I'm not always on her side, obviously, I love those seasons. Mm-hmm. Just amazing.
Oh, they're so fun.
All right, Dylan, we've talked about so much. Shall we move on to some little doses of drama here that we might have?
Yes, we need to leave the listeners with something spicy and strong here at the end.
All right. Spicy and strong. Spicy and strong. Okay.
I mean, we've covered so much throughout this podcast today.
Okay, well, not necessarily spicy, but I have a fun dose of drama here. We mentioned, you know, Gavin Creel earlier, and when he came on the podcast, he was promoting, teasing his walk-on through show, solo show, which was filmed, and now it's available to stream. You can watch it on YouTube anytime. So y'all have some wine, some popcorn, your favorite Mexican takeout, whatever it is that makes you feel cozy and happy, and definitely go watch Walk On Through. Some of the best original musical music I have heard in years. You're going to love it. Love it, love it, love it.
I missed it when it had its run. My dose of drama, which I would say the thing that is still percolating in my brain is this whole Jersey Gate. I need to know what y'all think. Where does everyone else stand on this, especially the gays? My dose of drama is, and I mentioned this on Drama Plus, which I plugged multiple times throughout this podcast, so check it out in the notes below. This season of Drag Race UK is absolutely incredible. It is one of the best seasons of Drag Race I have seen in years. I cannot recommend it enough. So if you have WoW Presents Plus, another $5 a month investment, I definitely recommend checking that out.
I'm like 4 episodes in.
And are you liking it?
Oh, it's amazing. It is amazing.
Yeah.
Really great. All the queens have distinct personalities. The challenges are really fun.
Rue seems to have more fun in the UK.
Oh my God. Totally changed woman. Oh, wait, Dylan, you know what I just realized as we're wrapping up this podcast is I got back from Puerto Rico and we haven't talked about it like at all. So I need to call you later to fill you in on it. But it was so fun. Hiked the rainforest, took a boat to a private island and swam in the waters, got violently seasick, went dancing at night in the streets.
Oh my God.
Had tons of food. So nice. You were deeply missed. Deeply, deeply missed.
Oh, that means a lot. I mean, it sounded amazing. It sounded so much fun. It's been a big year of travel.
I know, so bad. And we were all talking about like, oh, what are we all doing in 2025? I was like, oh, well, I already have a trip planned in this month, a trip planned this month, to that month, 2 weddings. Then we're at summer and then we're, and I started malfunctioning. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I can't do this. But I'm really excited for the holiday season. Really excited for year 5 of drama.
Wait, so 5-year anniversary, and then we'll be in our 6th year of podcasting.
Insane. I love it. Well, anyway, Dylan, I hope you love the Wicked movie.
Oh, yes.
You're going now to go watch it.
When you call to talk about Puerto Rico, I will call to tell you about Wicked. I am so excited. And thank you to everyone who's been listening to our show over all these years. We have a very exciting special guest with us next week to celebrate 5 years, which here's what I'll say. Every year, with the exception of the 2nd year, where we did like check-ins with past guests, we have like a diva icon. Theater queen. You know, we had Kiala Settle year 1. Year 2, like I said, we had the drama extravaganza. Year three, we had Krista Rodriguez back. And year four, we had Beth Lovell. And so this year, we have another legend, Tony-winning legend.
That makes me so happy. We love you all. Go see Gladiator 2. Go see Wicked. Go watch Walk On Through. Let us know what you think about Scherzi. And
Follow us on Blue Sky. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.
Drama.